We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Amerks hockey lives here. Amerks Laval. Tonight at 7 on your home for Rochester Americans hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, live from Filger's East End, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester, and welcoming in for the first time, Bradley Gelber, USA Today's Bills Wire reporter, joining us in the sports bar. Brad, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate your time, Bradley. I feel like the Bills have been overshadowed this week as far as what the roster is happening with the talks on the stadium and all the talks on the Sabres and whatnot. But the draft is coming up pretty quick here. Number 9 overall. What do you think the Bills do? What do you think the Bills should do? And what do you think they will do? Or if those are two different types of questions when it comes to their first round draft pick.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's a constantly evolving type of thing at this point, just because obviously the Bills have been extremely active during free agency. And if you had asked me the same question a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it's constantly changing. So it's nice to see that they filled quite a few holes at this point, obviously through free agency. Offensive line was probably something that would have been mentioned quite a bit as a consideration for the first round, or in their first round pick. But now they've done quite a bit of, you know, addressing that need in the free agency. So, I know coming out of the combine, a name like DK Metcalf, a wide receiver, was a hot name thrown around because, you know, let's face it, the guy's, you know, a freak when it comes to his athletic ability, and just he wowed a lot of people. But with the additions of Cole Beasley and John Brown, they've kind of solidified some of the more question marks there at wide receiver, at least for the short term. So I think defense is probably what we end up seeing the Bills do at 9 in the first round, unless even if they trade back, maybe that's been a consideration as well. We know that Sean McDermott is a fan of defense there. So I think that could make sense. The name that's been thrown around right now the most is a guy like Ed Oliver. He is another guy who's athletically a freak, but in terms of, you know, the concern with him is probably just his size, just because he's not going to be on the outside. He's going to be a guy that they would try to put at defensive tackle. So for him, you know, as a three technique, even he's undersized a bit there. So that might be the concern at the wear and tear of, you know, an NFL season, that can he, you know, kind of keep up with that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I think that defense is probably where we see them go in the first round. But I've learned over the years, you can never be quite sure, especially with this regime. So I'm sure between now and the draft, we'll see them. A few more names come up as it goes along as kind of the hot name for the Bills. And, maybe it's not off the table, too, that they could still possibly, you know, trade for a guy, or they sign someone else. And then maybe we're looking back on the offensive side of the ball at that point. But if you ask me right now, I'd go with defense today.
Bradley Gelber, USA Today's Bills Wire, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Bradley, we talk about the moves that they've made in free agency. We can certainly all agree that they've done a lot. They've made a lot of moves. But all that being said, when you consider the talent that was acquired, did they do enough?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good question. Obviously, in terms of what they did, as you said, the amount of moves was plentiful. Obviously, we're going to look over something like the Antonio Brown situation, which I'm sure you guys have talked to death about that. But, you know, if in fact there is trouble adding a marquee player like an Antonio Brown, I think the next best option is what we've seen Brandon Bean kind of go out and do. He's gotten value kind of adds, players that have potential that can help the team right now in the short term, but they're not going to cost them a huge contract, you know, outside of Mitch Morse. They've really found guys, and it's been guys that are seemingly coming off of injury. So it's kind of a value in that regard, in that they can sign them for these two-year deals that are kind of, you know, incentive-based deals, and then it doesn't handcuff them for the long term. What that can do when you look at, say, a guy like Cole Beasley or, you know, John Brown, in terms of guys that are in their 30, 31, 32, it basically allows them possibly to take a wide receiver, maybe not at 9, but they can take a guy in the 3rd round or the 2nd round or a little later on in the draft, and it gives them, they don't need to rush him out there and expect him to be the number one receiver right away. And it kind of allows them to develop some players. So I think they help themselves through a free agency in the short term with some of these guys that are on kind of shorter prove-it deals that are a little bit older. And it does help a guy like Josh Allen, who's going to be in his 2nd season. And, you know, obviously Frank Gore is another name who's an older guy that's going to come in, and they still believe he can contribute. So I wouldn't say that they're all set now because of free agency, but I certainly think that they helped themselves and filled some needs. And I think Brandon Bean went on record saying that as well this week. He said, you know, no games are won in March, despite what maybe Rex Ryan would have led us to believe. But, you know, at the same time, they did help themselves and fill some holes. So now they can kind of solidify their plan moving forward from the draft. And if there's a trade that could happen, that's something else to consider, like I said before. But I think they're at least in good shape heading into the draft at this point.
Bradley Gelber, who writes for the Bills Wire on USA Today's network, our guest here in the Sports Bar. On this Friday, I want to be positive, Bradley. Let's talk about, here's a sign, I guess, to me that maybe the roster is getting a little bit better. Because right now, I'm going to name 5 receivers, and I think they're all on the team. And you tell me if I'm wrong here, and I don't know if the Bills are going to go with 6 receivers, who that might be, but the 5 would be the 2 guys coming back, which would be Zay Jones and Robert Foster, and then you bring in Brown, you bring in Beasley, that's 4, and I think it's safe to assume, whether it's not the 1st round, the 2nd round, the 3rd round, whoever that, you know, top draft pick, just because you're going to spend the capital on it, that receiver will be in there as well. Well, that's 5 right there. If you're going to make a case for a 6 wide receiver between all the candidates, Bradley, how does the position stack up after that?
Yeah, so that's a good question, just because at that point you're really looking at, okay, so what is the guy going to bring? If he's not going to be on the field all the time contributing, chances are you're going to want a guy that is a special teams kind of contributor as well. So obviously, that kind of leaves like an Isaiah McKenzie type player, that he's versatile. He can help you in kick returns and things of that nature. You know, I think a guy that I'm excited to see, but as you mentioned, he's been overlooked at this point just because he was added much earlier in the season or in the offseason prior to the signings of Brown and Beasley, was Duke Williams, obviously from the CFL. So that's a guy that was kind of a feather in the Bills' cap that they were able to get him earlier on. And I know people were kind of excited to see what he's going to be able to bring, because he's, you know, he's not a speed guy, but he's a guy that's a physical receiver that kind of gives them more of a style of play that maybe they were hoping from a guy like Kelvin Benjamin that they never really were able to get. So I think that it's going to be very interesting to see what they value at that point, just because of the fact that, you know, what can they bring to the table that's not just, if they're not going to be an every down kind of wide receiver. But I think those are the 2 guys. And then obviously they just brought in the other wide receiver that came in as well from the Jets. So and he's probably the premier guy that's going to come in as the kick returner. So in terms of him coming in, that could fill up, quote unquote, a wide receiver spot. So I don't know if they end up keeping, you know, I don't know exactly how many they're planning to keep at this point, but they've definitely put themselves from where they were last season in terms of having virtually no wide receivers to this year. It seems like that's, you know, I don't want to say a depth position, because there's some guys that haven't really proved are they going to be valuable, but at least on paper, they're in much better shape than what we saw last year.
Bradley Gelber, USA Today's Bills Wire, joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Bradley, we look ahead to training camp, and without knowing who the Bills are going to draft, we can already see some great positional battles emerging. Of course, there'll be plenty to watch on the offensive line, but I'm going to keep my eye on that corner position opposite Trey White. Talk about the addition of EJ Gaines and the moves that they've made this offseason to make that cornerback two position a big battle going into training camp this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, getting EJ to come back, who had so much success with the Bills, was big. I think that, you know, he's a guy that obviously we talk a lot about the record with him on the field, because it was unique that they were able to go 8-3 2 years ago when he was playing in games. And whether that was a direct result of him playing or not, it's something that is mentioned quite a bit. And, you know, we know they made the playoffs that season. So I think just having him back, a guy that's familiar with the defense, I know Sean McDermott mentioned the other day when he was asked about it, just he's going to have some work to do to brush back up on it, but it's not like a guy's coming in here who's never played for the team or under that defense before. So I think that getting him back, and, you know, he has good rapport with his other, you know, DBs back there. He's, you know, he talked highly of Trey White when Trey was a rookie, and getting to play, you know, opposite of him and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier. So those guys, you know, they know him, and he'll be able to come in there and help out. And then they just signed Kevin Johnson as well. So another guy who has the opportunity to take that second spot. But the thing about EJ Gaines is he can, you know, he's able to play in the nickel. And we saw Taron Johnson, who was a promising young corner, get hurt. So Gaines has his own injury history, and so has Kevin Johnson. So I think their hope probably is that they can utilize all of those guys, and that if one is hurt or two are hurt, they'll have the depth to keep rolling there. And if they're all healthy, which is what you hope, you know, they can rotate some of those guys in, and depending on how they're playing. So I think that, you know, if you were to ask me who's the leader for that position, you know, I don't want to leave Levi Wallace out of there too, who just last season had a promising year coming out of off the practice squad. So, you know, maybe you give the advantage to the guy that was here just because he's most familiar with the defense. But I think in terms of talent and just where they're at in their careers, I think Kevin Johnson has a nice chance there if he can stay healthy. But I think EJ Gaines is, as I said, versatile, and he can kind of help them in more than one spot there. So I really like what they've done at that position, and I thought that was going to be high on the need in terms of the draft. But at this point, with what they've done in free agency, I don't think it's quite as much of a need heading into the draft, which is always, you know, a good position to be in. You don't want to feel, as Brandon Bean said many times, they draft best player available. So you don't want to feel like you're going into the draft with all these needs you have to address. You'd like to be able to just, you know, take the best player that's there when it's your time to go.
Bradley Gelber writes for the Bills Wire USA Today Network, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Bradley, if I could switch gears here, all this Bills talk, we haven't even gotten to the stadium talk here. And the Pegula is the rare instance where they did talk. I want your take on this, because you're somebody that interacts with Bills fans constantly. And when it comes to the experience of a Bills fan, we could all say, sure, we want the downtown stadium in Buffalo, and it will do all this stuff for development and blah, 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 and it'll make more money. But at the end of the day, how big is tailgating with this? From the people you talk to, are Bills fans into a new, really the concept of a new stadium, or is this something that they can live without?
Yeah, that's a good question, just because, you know, the Bills fans are a different breed, and I don't mean to say that and in the way that maybe it's kind of publicized on the national scale in terms of heavy drinking and, you know, smashing through tables and all that kind of stuff. When I say that, I think that they take football very seriously, and there's a tradition now in Orchard Park and at One Bills Drive, and the way the tailgating's kind of, you know, become part of that culture there, for good or bad, or however you want to look at it. So I think that Bills fans don't necessarily, at least the ones I've seen or interacted with on social media or in person or whatnot, I think they like where they're at. I don't think anyone's asking them to move downtown that are just fans. Obviously, from a business point of view, or from, you know, Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula's point of view, that's a different animal there. But in terms of just, you know, the average season ticket holder, I think they like it being in Orchard Park. I think they like having the lots to be able to tailgate in. I think they like that this is kind of you know, the culture of being a Bills fan. You kind of go to the same lot for 30 years, and, you know, then your kid goes there with you, and over time they bring their kid, and it's like grandfathered down over time. So I think that there's something to that. You know, the average, maybe the fan that goes, you know, once or twice a season and isn't a season ticket holder, perhaps those are the people that would be more, you know, receptive to seeing a stadium built downtown and, you know, kind of the fancier dome setting or whatnot. But I think if you just kind of, and it'll be interesting to see, because Terry talked a lot about that when he was asked about the stadium at the owners' meetings. He constantly kind of referred back to the study that they're currently doing, and how much they take that into consideration actually will be interesting as well. But he at least made it seem like on the surface they're going to heavily weigh that. So, you know, as you asked me, from my experience, what I've seen is I think people like the stadium where it's at. How long they can get away with continuing to just renovate the current stadium, that remains to be seen. I think, you know, the NFL is very much in favor of these palaces, as Terry Pegula put it, with, you know, Jerry Jones's place in Dallas and the place out in LA now are, you know, they're just next level. So I think that's what people are moving towards. But as Terry put it, they're going to have to put a Buffalo spin on it, because people are also not going to be too happy about ticket prices skyrocketing through the roof either. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think the average fan would be perfectly fine with keeping the stadium here right where it is in Orchard Park.
Brad, the reality of the situation, and it pains me to say it, I don't know that there's enough wealth in our communities to sustain an NFL franchise with a new stadium. And you know, we can talk about the study that's being done right now. There have been studies done in the past. The studies are a nice tool, but the studies ultimately are something that you can use to help sell through the idea that you're going to go through with anyways. My point is, I think the Pegulas already know what they want to do, what they're going to do, because they're being forced to do it by the NFL. And ultimately, what the fans want will be secondary to what the NFL wants, which is the Bills to be as profitable as possible. And for that to happen, it probably involves a new stadium, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right on, I think, at least, because, you know, you look at Terry was kind of pressed a bit at the owners' meetings, and he's not always the most comfortable speaking to the media. So he, you know, I think he was saying it a bit. It was taken very word for word when he, you know, that he was asked, well, do you want to see a dome? And he said, you know, he was kind of joking around, and then he said, no. Do you? And so then everyone was like, well, Terry doesn't want to see a dome. Now he said he doesn't want to see one. So, you know, I think that he's kind of looking at it probably from how most people would answer that. And in Buffalo, you know, we're always talked about how we use the cold and the snow to our advantage. And, you know, when it barely, you know, if you actually look at the amount of games where it snows, it's very minimal. But anyways, that's, you know, I think that in order to, as you said, be most profitable, I think that that's what the NFL wants to see. I think Terry kind of hinted at that as well when he was saying that, was it seems like that's probably the direction they're going to have to go. He didn't want to, you know, solidify that answer because he's not allowed to at this point, I don't think. But, you know, as I said previously, I don't know with renovations if that's really going to be enough long term. I mean, they can keep trying to fix it up for as long as possible, but eventually I think it's going to be a new stadium. I guess it just comes down to where is that new stadium going to be. And from all different things, you look at where kind of, you know, quote-unquote Pegulaville is, or PSC headquarters are all downtown now. The Pegulas have been kind of credited with the resurgence of building up downtown Buffalo and Canal Side and all that, and that's where all their properties are. And the Sabres, obviously, KeyBank Center is down there as well, so Harbor Center. So I think it would make sense logistically from their point of view that the stadium's built downtown. But as you said, in terms of the financial, can the fans, can our community support that? I thought it was interesting when he was asked, well, are you willing to foot the bill entirely for a new stadium if it comes down to that? And Terry, very, you know, it was a very brief answer. All he said was, I don't know. And that was at the very tail end of the media meeting with him. So there was a lot of kind of I don't knows, which were interesting in regards to that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it'll be interesting to see how that worked out, because it might end up being that the Pegulas have to foot a good portion of that bill. So it'll be interesting to see, though, how that plays out.
Bradley Gelber, one last question here for you, and I know from following you on social media that you certainly keep tabs on the Buffalo Sabres, and that was certainly a topic with the Pegulas. Does Phil Housley escape this?
Yeah. How much time do we have still here? That's a good question, and if you asked Jason Botterill a couple weeks ago, he would say, as he did, that Phil will be back, and the Pegulas, I thought it was very, and I don't think Terry's comments were as telling as Kim's, I thought, were when she was asked about the Phil Housley situation. And she said, I believe Jason already spoke to that he wasn't going to, be moving on from Phil. But she then said, but that's not to say that we aren't always looking to improve. And then she ended it with, these things are typically not just one person. So, you know, it kind of zigzagged back and forth there.
She left herself out.
Yeah. But, I just don't see how it happens. And I've covered the Sabres in the past, and I've done the hockey thing, and I follow the team, as you said. So I'm familiar with them. And it just feels like this is the second year in a row now that the Sabres have basically given up on their coach, and they've quit on him in a sense. And whether that's all Phil's fault or not, and it goes much deeper than Phil Housley. Like, let's be honest here. You don't have the performance that you do the way this season played out without it being more than just the coach. But at the end of the day, I think that the team quitting on him 2 years in a row says quite a bit. And, I don't think that we can get through the end of this season here without – I think he makes it through the end of the season, but I just think throughout the offseason, I think they're going to have to make a change just for the sake of that. But it'll be interesting to see if it's Chris Taylor from Rochester that ends up getting the job, or if, I know Quenneville's name has been thrown around a lot, or if they try and bring in a more marquee name. But sorry for the long answer, but to answer your question, I do not see Phil Housley coming back next.
No, the Bills are this model of consistency now.
Six and ten gets you the label of model of consistency. That's great. Bradley, you're great with your time. We appreciate you joining us here. I wanted to make sure you had enough time to let our listeners know where they can read more of your work.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I write over at the Bills Wire for USA Today, so BillsWire.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Bradley Gelber. Always sharing my work over there as well.
Bradley, appreciate your time on this Friday.
Yes, guys. Thanks for having me. I hope we can do it again soon.
We will absolutely do it again soon. Thank you so much, Bradley. Enjoy your weekend. Bradley Gelber, USA Today's Bills Wire reporter, joining us in the sports bar.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.